Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. But by the end of this ad, you could do something about it with your donation. Donate today at cancer.org.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep-sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, anyplace, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun. Eat it, too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Elsie sat in theology class listening to Sister Raphael expound on the different types of grace, but she found it hard to pay attention. It wasn't that the material wasn't interesting, it was actually. But Elsie's mind was unfortunately on other things at the moment. It had been, truth be told, ever since her rather unexpected discovery of a small girl named Anna, apparently living in Gunther's hut behind Piper Hall. This is G.P. Gottlieb, host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. And today I'm talking to Michelle Cox, author of the Henrietta and Inspector Howard series. Michelle's newest book, A Child Lost, continues the story of Clive Howard, the wealthy scion of a Winnetka family, and his new bride, Henrietta, who had to go to work scrubbing floors at age 13 after her father committed suicide. The couple met while Clive still worked for the Chicago police, and Henrietta was still trying to make ends meet, but caught the eye of a homicidal sociopath. In each of their adventures, Cox presents a Chicago that no longer exists. But back then, in the years following the Great Depression, Chicago, as everywhere, was overwhelmed with people struggling to eat each day, while the upper class was ensconced in their mansions, dressing for dinner and making sure that the servants, who were grateful for the work, followed a rigid set of rules and requirements. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Galeen. It's fun to be here. Thanks for having me.
So how did you decide to set your mystery series in Chicago in the 1930s?
Well, that's a great question. I did that because I actually based the main character, Henrietta, on a woman that I met in a nursing home when I worked in Chicago in the early 90s. And she was this amazing woman. She would follow me around and she would tell me all about her life. And one of the things that she had done, she had all these amazing jobs in Chicago during the Depression, which was, a feat unto itself. I mean, but she said that she never had a problem getting a job because she was this very beautiful, voluptuous young woman. And so she never had a problem getting a job, but she had a problem keeping a job because she was always getting felt up or kissed or something by the manager, and she would slap them and then she'd be fired. So, I mean, she was just very spunky. I think that took a lot of courage to do during the Depression when people were really struggling for work. So one of the jobs that she had was working as what she called it, a Dutch girl at the World's Fair in 1933 in Chicago. And I just thought that that was such a unique detail that I loved that. So when I later, many years later, decided to base this story using her as the sort of template for Henrietta, I thought, well, I'll set the book in the 30s because my sort of leaning is has always been for the 40s, but I thought, you know, this is going to be one book. I can do this for one book. I can shift my writing by a decade. And then it turned into a series, which is great. But then I was stuck, you know, writing in the 30s, but I learned a lot. And I eventually was really happy that I did that, because I do think that it is not a niche that there are, that's filled with a lot of other books. So, yeah.
Just out of curiosity, was the elderly woman in the nursing home's name Henrietta?
It was not. No, I changed her name to be something different. And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you also write a blog about historical Chicago. How do you choose whom to study, and how do you do your research on that?
That's a good question too. Yeah, the blog is great. The blog has its own little following, to be honest. I mean, there's people who read the blog but don't read my books, or people who read the books but not the blog. And then, of course, there's a lot of crossover. But I think that's neat that there's a crowd of people that enjoy these sort of short snippets of history. Because so all of these stories that I get were basically people in that I met when I was working in the nursing home. So it was the Bohemian home. And it was on Foster and Pulaski. And so a lot of the people in that nursing home were Czech or Polish. And of course, we had, you know, all different nationalities, but many, many, many of them were immigrants. And I, you know, loved collecting their stories. And so then later in life, I was kind of searching around for a blog idea. And I just thought, you know, the world does not need another blog about writing. So I thought, you know, why don't I put together these little stories about, you know, the past? It kind of goes along with my books and seemed like a good fit. So all of those stories in the blog are absolutely 100% true. The only thing that I have done is change their names, just to sort of, you know, for confidentiality. But otherwise, they're very true.
So can we talk a little bit more about Henrietta? Because she's really an interesting character. I mean, you're Henrietta, not the one she's based on.
Sure.
Okay. Tell me about her. Tell me what you love about her. I think she's a wonderful character.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, I love Henrietta because I tried very hard to encapsulate what I imagined this real woman's life to have been. So I wanted to make her like this real woman. She was very beautiful, but she was also very virtuous. And I wanted to bring that into the story. I think she had a lot of... In some ways, you know, what I love about Henrietta is that she's sort of forward thinking, but she still is very rooted in that time. So, you know, she's a bit of a challenge sometimes to write, because you want to make her authentic to the time period, but you want to make her sort of accessible to a modern reader. And so I love that she... you know, there's a humbleness to her, but then at the same time, there's an independent streak to her and a sort of spunky, not rebellious streak, but, you know, she has her own mind, and she definitely isn't afraid to say her opinion. So,
yeah, but I want to point out that learning how to deal with the many servants that surround her is not something most people are going to have to worry about.
Right. Anyway.
What about Clive, her husband? Was he or anyone in his family based on, I mean, let's say, who were the Howards based on?
The Howards are not, well, the Howards are based loosely on, I don't want to say a particular set of people, but I mean, I grew up poor, and I grew up on a farm. And so I came to Chicago, to the big city, to go to college. And, you know, I met so many different types of people. And there were always some people who, you know, were very anxious to sort of look down their nose. And so, you know, at the time that's very hurtful, but you can use it later in life. So yeah, to sort of, you know, paint these characters, but I also didn't want to paint them so dark. I wanted to paint them as, you know, at times Antonia, Clive's mother, is kind to her. And she's also very snooty and she sort of looks down on Henrietta, but then in other ways she can be kind as well. So they're not really based on any one particular person. And Clive is totally a figment of my imagination.
A good looking figment of your imagination. a rich good looking. Yeah, so Clive, right? Clive comes from an extremely wealthy family. I recently had to drive out of the city and up to the suburbs, and I took Sheridan Road so I could go slowly along the way and peek at the Winnetka mansions.
Nice.
On the way.
Yes, you do.
And I was, and I was wondering if the mansion in your series is based on one that you could see from the road. If not, was it in another suburb?
You know, that's funny because when I was in college, so I went to college in Mundelein, which comes into book four of the series. And, that's something I used to do is drive north along Sheridan, just as you're saying. And, you know, my jaw would just drop at the sight of some of these gigantic mansions that whose backyard butted up to Lake Michigan. I mean, it's just kind of blows you away. So there wasn't any one particular one, but I did cheat and do some Google searches. And I was able to sort of find a couple of mansions that I felt looked like Highbury in my mind. And I sort of like jumbled them all together. So, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about Clive's mother. She is the epitome of a North Shore grande dame.
And yes.
I'm wondering if she belonged to the arts club in Chicago. No, I'm kidding. So who inspired her and what do you think of her?
You know, Antonia, like you said, she's sort of a product of her class, a product of her time. And she's torn between wanting to have this sort of place in society and wanting Clive to marry well and, you know, take over the reins of Highbury. But at the same time, she knows that Clive, who has been through the war and was injured, and he, you know, he has sort of lost his desire to be part of this world anymore, which is why he has gone to the city to become a cop. And she knows that she's riding a very fine line between wanting to sort of fit into society, but at the same time, she doesn't want to lose Clive or the chance that she's going to get some sort of grandchild. So she has to walk very carefully.
Mm-hmm. Henrietta grew up in a difficult home. And after her father's untimely death, her mother was left with 8 children to raise.
Yes.
But let's talk about her. She was too depressed to do anything. Can you talk about her trajectory and why she is the way she is?
Yeah. All of these characters that you're mentioning, so Clive and Antonia and Martha, as the books go along, you learn more and more about their backstory, which I think is fun. I always enjoy that if you're, you know, into a series and you think you know these characters and more is revealed about them. So I think that's really fun. And with Ma or Martha, which is Henrietta's mom, she I don't want to give too much away, but she married sort of quickly, maybe sort of rashly, and she I think regrets it. And this isn't anything that's a secret, because this is pretty, you know, telling right away in the book, is that Henrietta's father has killed himself because of the Great Depression. And, you know, I think a lot of women back then, or men, anyone, there was no recourse for depression, anxiety, and you just sort of had to suffer in silence. And that is what has happened to her. She has just grown so bitter and so angry, so depressed that she really has lost the ability to care for the family. And so Henrietta and her younger sister, Elsie, are really the two that are sort of running the show. And they are the two, you know, that travel through almost all of the books. So you kind of get to see their, mm-hmm. their plot lines running side by side.
It's interesting how you bring up illness of different kinds in across the five books in the series, mm-hmm. because the father, it's very clear that he was depressed mm-hmm. before he committed suicide. And it's very clear that the mother is going through some kind of depression, and there's no recourse. There's nobody who deals with it. And mm-hmm. then in one of the books, there is some serious illness, and there's clearly no way of, there's no doctors dealing with it. There's people are put away.
Yes. Right.
If they're not.
Yes.
Normal.
Exactly. And I think you're referring to book five in particular, but yeah, there is, that book deals a lot with mental illness. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's shocking. And I, you know, I did a lot of research on that for that book in particular. And, you know, it's sad, really, what it's really only been a relatively short amount of time that things have changed. I mean, we still have a long way to go, but yeah.
Yeah. In some ways I saw this as a kind of Cinderella story. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's a good comparison. It is a Cinderella story in a way. But Henrietta, instead of, you know, so she meets this Clive, who's this cop, and she thinks that she's going to be spending, you know, her life with him, but, you know, he hasn't told her that he is very wealthy. He's kept that from her. So in when she finds that out, she's not really very excited about this. You'd think that she would be. So it's almost like an anti-Cinderella story because, you know, the prince has come along and she's not really so sure that this is what she wants. And she feels very sort of betrayed by him. So, yeah, it is a Cinderella story, but a little bit, you know, in reverse.
Mm-hmm. So I just randomly happened to stumble upon the first book in the series before I knew who you were. Never met you, but I was intrigued for a couple of reasons. It was set in Chicago, and I'm a Chicagoan.
Yay.
And I saw in your bio that you went to Mundelein College. And Mundelein, as you know, was a place that was wonderful for women mm-hmm. who hadn't gotten an education, and they accepted women to come back at any age to finish their degrees. And my mother-in-law finished her undergraduate there after the war.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I'm like, I got to read this book.
That is so neat. Oh, that's great.
So let's talk about Chicago. In your research, did you learn anything about Chicago that like shocked you? And would you ever consider writing a story set in current Chicago? Because this is all the 30s.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that probably shocked me the most was the state of the Dunning Asylum, which was a real place on the Northwest Side, and that they actually had what was called a crazy train. And the Milwaukee, I think Milwaukee Northwestern Railroad or something like that was actually changed their route. They built tracks so that the train would run directly in front of the asylum, and police or, you know, government workers or whoever it was would load these quote crazy people onto this train car, and then they would ship them directly to Dunning, where they would be unloaded and they would never be seen again. And that I think it was in the 60s or maybe, they uncovered a mass grave behind the asylum with, I think it was like 30,000 bodies in it. So yeah, that was pretty terrible. You know, some of the atrocities that went on there. So that was something that was really shocking. Also, I thought something that sort of just piqued my interest is I was reading through some old Chicago Tribunes, and there was one that was talking specifically about these burlesque calls that, you know, is back from in book one, A Girl Like You, where Henry is working in this burlesque call as a hall as an usherette. And these were real places, and I did base it on a real place. And somebody had written an editorial to the paper complaining about these underground tunnels under this burlesque call, and that women dancers were going down there and, you know, doing drugs, cocaine, all this kind of stuff, and that it was just, you know, a setup for prostitution. And that of course really intrigued me, and I tried to put some of that into the book. But what was more surprising was that there was a follow-up letter in several weeks later from one of the dancers saying, defending her position and the rest of the women, and saying that some people don't have a choice. And I thought, wow, that just really moved me so much. And I tried to kind of build a little of that into the book as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a little, let's dwell for a moment on Chicago, just because everyone, the public wants to know. So, which pizza?
Which pizza do I love the most?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say Lou Malnati's.
Oh, I'm a Lou Malnati's person too.
Yes.
Cubs or White Sox?
Cubs.
Oh, sorry. I'm a White Sox person.
No.
Lyric or Civic Opera? I mean, that's a funny question. I know not everybody. I go to the Lyric, so no, never mind.
I've only been to the Lyric, so okay. I'll say Lyric.
It's just a funny question for people who don't. Because I don't really care about all the other things.
Right.
So Henrietta's sister, Elsie, is more ruled by her heart than her brain. Can you talk about if she's going to succeed in life or if she's going to keep getting into scrapes? I promise I won't tell anyone.
Except for your thousands of listeners. No. Let's see. Yes, she does. And I keep trying. Elsie is a strange character because she was never meant to be anything more than a bit character. So she was never supposed to be really anything. But as the series has gone on, she's sort of, you know, keeps asking to be written into the books. And she, now by book four and five, you know, her plot line is the amount of time in the book is pretty much equal to Henrietta's. So, and I keep trying to wrap her story up so that I can kind of move on and focus on a different side character. But I think finally after book six, which I'm writing right now, she is going to, you know, finally, you know, come into her own.
Okay. But she was a really, you know, different kind of character. Mm-hmm. Here's Henrietta, just beautiful, perfect little figure. Everything's going right for her. And Elsie just keeps stumbling.
Yes.
And she gets the leftovers, you know, the boyfriend's Henrietta discards. So I felt for her. I'm also a second sister. I just felt for her.
Yes, you can relate. Yes. Yeah, okay. She's always sort of, as you said, it's perfect. She wears her heart on her sleeve, and she has been sorely treated by various persons, including her own grandfather, but, you know, that's later in the series.
Yeah. So I was really trying hard not to ask you any questions that would give away anything. So I'm going to stop asking questions before I really ask what I want to know. We don't want to tell. So tell me this, what are you working on next?
Well, as I said, I'm working on book six of the series. So the working title is A Spying Eye. I'm sure they'll change it, but I'm working on that. And that's a fun premise. Clive and Henrietta are back in Europe, and they are searching for the missing panel of the Ghent altarpiece, which is this famous artwork.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's sort of a race to get to it before Hitler gets to it, because he is actually has his men searching for it, because he believes that once the panel is found and slotted into place, it will reveal this, you know, treasure map sort of thing. And this is all real. I couldn't believe it when I was reading it. But this is all a real thing. So they are going to get kind of caught up in that. And of course, we've got Elsie's storyline running. And this time, this book, Julia, Clive's sister is going to form the third plot line. So we'll see what happens with her. But in the meantime, I'm also working on a standalone novel, which I am in the middle of editing, hopefully the final edits, and waiting for those to come back. And then I'm going to start pitching to some literary agents to see if I can get a different publisher. Not that I'm not happy with my current publisher, but I think I need to move on. So,
So keep me posted. I'm interested for the next book that comes out.
Thanks.
Although I really am feeling close with Henrietta and Elsie and the family.
Oh,
and you know the Howards. I like them too, but
yeah.
But I'm willing to try another family when you're ready.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today, Michelle. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Khalid. I've had so much fun. Thank you.
And thank you for joining me. Again, this is G.P. Gottlieb, author of the Whipped and Sipped Mystery Series and host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today, I've been talking with author Michelle Cox about her latest book, A Child Lost, and her mystery series, Henrietta and Inspector Howard. Hope you're all able to lose yourself in a good book today and tomorrow, too. Happy reading.